So we were beginning to worship. The Spirit of God spoke to me to preach a different message. You know, your mind doesn't like that. Your mind likes to know what's happening, what's going to be happening. But, you know, we just have to relax in the Lord and follow Him, whatever it is in life. So I want to go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. And actually, I was teaching from here in the Bible study time. We've been studying the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and specifically the gifts of the Spirit. Recent weeks, the ministry of healing, gifts of healing. And there's much in Scripture concerning that. But I'm going to start with a point that I was bringing out earlier, and then we're going to go in a different direction with it. But in Matthew 8, 16, Jesus' ministry was in the beginning of it here. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, which is a quote from Isaiah chapter 53, where there's the revelation there of Christ in the book of Isaiah as the suffering servant of God, and specifically taking our infirmities and our sicknesses as well as our sin. Jesus fulfilled prophecy. God spoke of everything ahead. He was releasing his purposes. He was releasing his power ahead by the prophetic word. Jesus manifested this, and the principle, though, still works the same today, where you know, God would speak things into existence, and these things that he wills, as we mix faith with it, come to pass. Well, it says it's fulfilled by the prophet Isaiah, he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, and I had mentioned earlier, there's a lot of different words that in the Greek, there's four or five or so, that might translate into an English word sickness or disease, infirmity, weakness. There's some different words, and they don't even always use the same English words, the same Greek words. But here, these two words, infirmity and sickness, what's interesting, it's very significant. It's not just some redundant, you know, like when you greet somebody or something like that. But the first word there in the English reading, infirmity, is speaking of the consequence and effect of sickness or disease on your body. The second word is speaking of the causative element of sickness and disease. And many times we, you know, something begins and it's, you can identify it as such, but then it creates these other problems or these other manifestations. When you understand that concept, you understand there's a twofold deal happening here. I have to deal with what I'm dealing with, but I also have to deal with the root cause of it, or it's just going to continue to reoccur. You have to deal with both. Sometimes people might only treat the symptom, like say you have a headache, you take Tylenol or whatever you take, and the pain goes away because you're wanting to get at the pain. But really, there's something else going on that caused all of that. And maybe it's just you had too much sugar. But there could be other issues as well. There's a lot of things could cause a headache. But what we need to understand is if we don't get to the cause, it will continue to reoccur. And sometimes people will come to a conclusion, oh, it's a devil that came back. Well, if that were true, just drive it out. But many times what's happening is we've not dealt with the cause. Now, sometimes a word of wisdom would enable us to deal with the cause, or we just cut it off. And sometimes, even just a word of knowledge, even know what it is, because many times people don't know what's behind things. A lot of times what seems to be the problem to you isn't. It's just the manifestation working its way out. When and you take trials or problems in the soul of people, many times, you know, they come or asking someone, you know, to help me. They don't really understand what's going on inside of them because how it's manifesting out, you know, it's things aren't going away, but what they need help is identifying what's causing this. And sometimes it may be a fear, like someone could fear failure. Why? Because they have a fear of rejection, and if I'm not perfect, someone will reject me. So if you don't get to the root of it, the fear of rejection, you won't be able to deal with the fear of failure. That's just a simple illustration. Well, in terms of our body, you have sickness, disease-related things that can cause certain other problems that are a true and real problem too. But you have to deal with both of them. So the good news here is Jesus is our healer. He'll bring healing for the manifestation of whatever you're dealing with, but also healing for the cause. And that's some good news. He's healer to both. All right, so as we take this a little farther here, we see that Jesus healed all that were sick, both with the cause and the effect. He cast out spirits with his word. Then we go up earlier in the beginning of that chapter where we have the story here with the centurion servant. And at verse 5, it says, Jesus was entered into Capernaum. There came to him a centurion beseeching him, or just calling out to him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, which is, palsy is a neurological type disorder, grievously tormented, or in other words, he was in a lot of pain. He's in extreme pain. Now, there are diseases or sicknesses that can cause extreme pain. And at that point, it's hard to focus. It's hard to think. You have to deal with the pain so you can think straight, even to, you know, to read the word or to even to just to do anything. So sometimes you're dealing with something, you know, the element of the pain, which isn't even dealing with the issue itself. So many times, like a neurological type issue might be affecting the spine and, you know, the pain's shooting and going everywhere. So Jesus says, I will come and heal him. Now, I want to point out in Luke's gospel, he brings something added to this in that he says that the centurion, he sent servants out to Jesus, and Jesus then sent someone back with the message of healing. And the principle there, this isn't my main point, but I'm going to throw this in. God looks at at a man sent in the name of another man as that man. If you go taking a message, it's as though that very person is there. Matthew reads as though the centurion himself is before Jesus, but Luke's gospel reads there were people sent by him with the request, and then Jesus sends someone back with the answer. And it's as though Jesus himself was there, or the centurion was there. Now, in terms of government, an ambassador of a nation to another nation is really not authorized to speak on their own behalf. They say what the authority, or in this case, president, the message you want sent to them. But if the ambassador speaks and he's bringing the message of the person highest in authority, it's as though that person's speaking directly to them. God looks at a man sent in the name of another man as that man. And I remember when I heard someone preach this. It really went into my spirit. And I was praying one morning, just meditating, and it's about 6 a.m. I got a phone call. It was a lady in the church. Her daughter had diabetes and went into insulin shock, was unconscious. Please come over and pray. And this person lived about 5 minutes from me. So I get in a car, and I'm just speaking this to myself. God looks at the man sent in the name of another man as that man. When I get there, this girl's going to be healed. God looks at a man sent in the name of another man as that man. Lord, I'm going in your name. When I get there, it's as though you're there. When I get there, she's going to be healed. So 5 minutes, I'm just saying this over and over to myself. When I arrived, I rang a doorbell, you know, pulled up a driveway, rang a doorbell. And when I rang the doorbell, she was instantly healed and came out of the insulin shock. Yeah, and mom didn't give her anything. What do you give for that? A shot, whatever. I don't know if she didn't have that or she just was believing God. But the girl was instantly healed because I went in the name of Jesus. You can do that. Go in the name of Jesus. But that truth needs to be alive inside of you. It just happened to be something I had heard someone preach not too long before that. I was meditating on it. It was strong on the inside of me. Go in the revelation of the truth that you have. You know, don't like try to just do something somebody else is doing or talking about. But that was like strong inside of me. I could have meditated on something else, but that was real to me at the time. So, you know, if you're going to be used of the Lord in something, go in the revelation you have. Go in that revelation. I remember Jerry Savelle telling a story. They were witnessing, this was in like around 1969, you had the hippie movement and all that kind of stuff going on, and they were witnessing along the beach of California, and there was a guy on LSD, and he's like crawling out into the surf, and you know he's going to end up drowning. And they got a hold of him, cast the devil out of him. He became completely sober mind. He was healed, sober mind, because he was whacked out on LSD. So Jerry says, well, you know, you come with me and witness. But, you know, we're witnessing and so forth. So this guy's delivered, set free, and they're walking along the beach, and there's a road right along the beach. A lot of California's like that. And there's some, you know, what you would call like biker gang guys. They pull up and they stop, and this guy was delivered from LSD and all the effects 5 minutes before. Goes up, and the guy in the bike, he's Jerry, the way Jerry tell it, looked like an animal. He could have killed us all, and he sets a beer on the fender of the motorcycle while they're sitting there, and this kid knocks the beer off, straddles the bike, and says, I want to talk to you. And Jerry's thinking, oh my God, he's going to kill us all. Because, you know, this guy he described as an animal, I mean, his fire's coming out of his eyes. And this kid just tells him, 5 minutes ago, Jesus delivered me. And I want to tell you about this, and you need him. And then the big guy, he got saved right there, begins to cry and get saved. That young man didn't have much revelation, but he used what he had. He understood Jesus delivered me from the effects of LSD, and whatever all was going on inside of him was tormenting his mind, what have you. Jesus loves me. That's like all he really knew. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me, and he delivered me. And that revelation he had received just minutes before had the power of God within it because it was his revelation. So you take the word that's real and stirred in your heart and carry that and walk in the light of that, and it can produce the very same things. Okay. Well, the centurion, he's calling for Jesus to heal his servant. And we come back here. Jesus sends word back, I'll come and heal him. So the centurion answered, said, I'm not worthy to come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Well, the way Luke's gospel read, Jesus was, he was going to the man's house, and on the way stopped him and said, you don't have to actually come, you just speak the word. You just speak the word. Now, throughout the Bible, there's numerous examples of laying on of hands and healing and different manners and methods. But this man says, just speak the word and he'll be healed. So he goes on to explain, I'm a man under authority. See, this guy, he understood something. He understood how authority worked. He was a captain over soldiers. And if he gave a command for them to go to fight or whatever, they did it. And when he was given a command by those above him, he did it. Or else. You know, when there's a realm of authority like that, there's consequence. You can't just do your own thing. But he understood this. And he recognized that Jesus had authority over sickness and disease, and that all he had to do was give the command, and it's going to be done. So Jesus heard it and marveled. He said to them that followed, verily I say to you, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Well, it turns out the guy was healed. He says, go thy way, down at verse 13, as you believe, be it done unto thee. And a servant was healed in the same hour. So this man had a revelation of authority, and that if the authority spoke the word, it's going to be. That was his revelation. And Jesus really marveled because people had the tendency, well, if I can touch Jesus, and that's good. I mean, that works. That's good. If he's physically present. But this guy understood, if I just have the word from Jesus, it'll be done. Now, with healing, there's manifestation and ministry in various ways. And God doesn't want us to create a box and make a religion out of it. We let the Holy Spirit lead and guide in those things. But I do believe it's important to understand this concept, this particular example, where the guy understood Jesus had the authority over sickness and disease, and all that was needed was a command to bring the release of the power. Just as he could give a command, and the power of his soldiers are going into action. No questions asked. No thought. You do as you're told, or you will pay the price. I've not found such great faith, he says. Now, where I want to go with this, where I feel I'm led to go, is, you know, there's times there might be instant manifestation. There's times you just need to stand, having done all to stand, therefore. Stand. You hold fast the confession of your faith. And for us, if time passes, we are very vulnerable to allow unbelief to come in. Well, I guess this isn't going to work. Well, something's not happening here, right? And we really shouldn't be thinking like that. I mean, it's not abnormal to think like that, but time doesn't alter what God would want to do or what he can do. When we're in faith, faith is a now thing. I'm believing now. When it manifests is secondary. But I'm standing in faith now. And what we want to do is continue speaking the word. Now, earlier we went into Matthew 17 and Mark 9 with the man who had a boy or a son who was being tormented, epileptic seizures and such. And Jesus asked him, when did this come in? And he said, well, when he was a child, or when he was a really young child. So some years went by. He's speaking to Jesus, that your disciples couldn't cast him out and cast a spirit out. And it's trying to kill my son, throw him into a fire, into the water, trying to kill him. The man was desperate. He's crying out, Lord, have mercy on us. And Jesus stated to him, he said, you know, all things are possible to him that believes. Do you believe? And the man says, I believe. Help my unbelief. He believed all things were possible, but he was struggling with believing it's going to happen for his son. And I believe a large part of that is the fact that time went by. You know, we don't receive instantly. We can, and I'm just going to say this again, we can be very vulnerable to thinking, well, maybe I don't have faith, or something wrong, and actually lose hope for it even happening altogether. And what can happen is a person just begins to accept, well, this is just the way it's going to be. This is just part of my life. And then people come along to give you explanations to make you feel better that would say so much to you. Well, you'll always live with this. Just learn to live with it. Just learn to tolerate it. Well, if something's not of God, we shouldn't be just tolerating it. We should continue to stand for his best, stand for what he would have for us. And sometimes that can be an ongoing battle for a time. But I just want to say to anyone who's been dealing with an issue where you need healing, you've been dealing with it for a while or for years, don't let your faith, let down on your faith. Continue to hold fast to your confession and believe God. You might say, well, it's been so many years. In the mind of God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. Hold fast to your confession. Don't just accept it. But believe God for all that you need in order to do his purposes on the earth. I have work to do. So in my mind, Lord, you've got to heal me. I have to be able to do the work. When the work's done, beam me up. I'll be happy to go. I'll be happy to be in heaven. But in the meantime, there's a work to do. So therefore, I'm going to continue to stand in faith, release my faith, believe God for whatever it takes, and I can do it. Well, I'm going to share a testimony. I only shared this once before, but I'm going to share an own personal testimony relative to this. Because what God put in my heart when we were worshiping, there are many, or there's some here dealing with chronic condition or something that's just lingering on. And God wants to minister to you today. Okay. Well, 16 years ago, I was dealing with fluid building up in my body. And, what's going on here? And, I went to a doctor and they say, well, there's fluid in your body. Okay. And it was building up, but that can be for a variety of reasons. It could be heart, lung, liver, kidney, cancer. It can be a lot of things. You have fluid building up on the inside of you. And I began to go to a naturopathic chiropractic doctor. He was a believer, man of God. And first time I'm there, and he's checking me out, doing his thing, and he says, have you been in a tropical country? I said, yeah, I go all the time. India and Nigeria at that time. And he said, you have a tropical parasite in your lymphatic system, lymphatic fluid, and that's what's caused this. So God showed him what to do about that. And I was taking all these enzymes. That was a lot, every hour. And it killed the parasite. Now, he said in the U.S., in the medical testing area, they don't really do tests or have tests for that because there's not tropical parasites in Pennsylvania. Florida, maybe. But, so therefore, why would they do that? They're not looking for that. But God showed him that. He identified as a tropical parasite. And at that time, I had to wear a shirt that was size 18. Now I wear a size 16 neck. Size 18. That's a pretty big shirt. My neck was swollen because your lymphatic, is flowing up here and through your body. And so anyway, the cause was the tropical parasite. Jesus has healing for the cause. Now, sometimes a healing might be through something which would be a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, whereby God would cut off what caused it. In that case, it was through a revelation given to this naturopathic guy what to do, what actually was the problem, and what to do about it. But the problem was then the effect of the tropical parasite was it did damage to my liver. And then later, the MD realm said, you have cirrhosis. It caused major damage. Cirrhosis is like your dead cells. I mean, it's not going to heal itself. It's dead. And it will kill you. Cirrhosis of the liver will kill you. I was a walking dead man. Now, I never said that while I'm walking through it because I don't need other people's doubt and unbelief being thrust at me. I don't need a bunch of opinions. I need to hear from God. I'm going to think and speak nothing but what His Word is. Now, I still went to this fellow and there he could identify when different organs are in healing mode. And about, it'd be like 3 months on, 3 months off, my liver would be calling for certain nutrients to heal itself. But that's not where the healing came from. Now, along the way, one of the effects of that with the liver damage and cirrhosis is your body will begin to, like the liver, there's fluid leaking out. I don't know how to explain it completely, but it's fluid leaking out and build up in your abdomen. So I have to go and get it, get a needle stuck in, you drain it. Which it sounds worse than it is, not a big deal. Just, you get a needle stuck in you, it hurts for a few seconds. But it was a nuisance. And it got to the point, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago or so, where I was getting 5 liters, or that's a gallon and a quart, taken out every 3 weeks. Now, I had developed an empathy for pregnant women because it was the equivalent. So I get it, what you ladies go through with that and the discomforts, you know, it's putting pressure on your stomach and your other organs. And it's just a discomfort. So that was getting worse. But at the peak, it was 5 liters every 3 weeks. So you figure you're carrying, you know, a gallon jug and a whole nother liter strapped around your waist. So we get to a certain point where this is really uncomfortable. Get it drained. And meanwhile, I don't have any health insurance. Because you go back in time, we had certain number of employees with the church and school, and you know, we had a group health plan, and there was, for whatever all reason, we ended up down with not enough employees for this group plan, and this company we were with says, well, we don't do individual plans. So now I have a pre-existing condition. Back then, you couldn't buy insurance if you have a pre-existing condition that in their mind is going to kill you. Well, how would they insure that? But you know, all that being said, I was always still against this socialism healthcare thing. Even though I didn't have any insurance and I had a condition, that doesn't change what I believe. You know, a lot of people, everything's about them, how it affects them. Well, the principle's still the same. So anyway, the time's going on here. And at a certain point, I had to get fluid drained. I had to go see this specialist once a year, and he would evaluate. And this guy starts talking liver transplant. I said, no, we're not going there. I mean, to begin with, it costs like $300,000. And besides that, half the people are dead within a couple of years. Of course, he didn't tell me that, but I researched that on my own. It's like, no, we're not going there. Jesus is my healer. And he just sort of smiled at me. At that point, he wasn't a believer. And actually, a side story, I wasn't seeing him anymore there. And then he requested I come in and see him. So I thought, okay, here we go again. Because at one point, he called my wife, tried to put fear in her to pressure me to get a liver transplant. I said, don't you ever do that again, or we're finished. And so he didn't do that anymore. But it's like, he's got a stubborn patient here. So, yeah, I didn't try to agitate him or anything, but there would come times where I've got to hold fast to my faith. So I don't make a big issue or deal. I'm not against him. He's trying to help me. But I had to hold my ground there, line in the sand. And, you know, he's trying to push this liver transplant stuff. I say no. Well, here I get this call. He wants to see me. And here there was a viral thing, and there's things in that world you might not really hear about, but it's always changing, mutating, and all of that. And he was doing surgery one day, and the next day he's paralyzed from this viral thing. And he remembered the crazy pastor. And he remembered what I said. And he's laying there paralyzed. He's probably in his mid-40s, and kind of his life going before him. And he called out to Jesus, and the Lord healed him. He wanted to tell me that face to face, so praise God. So don't underestimate. At times, I wasn't trying to convey anything to him. It's just, you know, he was suggesting from his training what he would recommend, which was a liver transplant. And from my training and the Word of God, it's like, no, we're not going that route. I'm believing God. His Word speaks to me that Christ is my healer, and we're not going to deviate off of this. So it was just interesting. He ends up paralyzed and calls out to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, this time's going by, and you know there's a continued deterioration. If you have cirrhosis of the liver or a liver issue, there's about 100 things that can cause other problems. Blood sugar, blood pressure, digestion issues, fat, hormonal. I mean, there's like all these different stuff that is linked to whether your liver's healthy or, and functioning right or whether it's not. So I had, you know, other things that were there too. But it was like, the issue here is the liver. It's not treating all this other stuff. So I didn't do any drugs with any of the other stuff. The issue here is the liver, and Jesus Christ is a healer to my liver. And I can honestly say, all honesty, fear never once entered my heart, even though I understood in the natural what the natural would say. Why? Because my eyes were on Jesus. And I really didn't even think about it like all the time. Sometimes if something is a threat to you, it can preoccupy the mind. I mean, I think about it when, okay, oh, well, I'm getting fluids building up. I have to call them and go in here. But I held fast to my confession every day and continue to speak what God says about the situation. I wasn't doing it in front of people or for anyone else to hear. I was doing it alone, speaking to my body. That's who needed to hear. My body. To continue to speak who Jesus is and the power of God to my body. And there came a point where it's healed. And I haven't had fluid drained for, I don't know, 2 years or something like that. Or it was 5 liters every 3 weeks. And there was nothing in the natural, and really there was no hope given as far as that effect. Now, the original cause was a tropical parasite. And God showed me once, I was just lying on my bed, you know, like I wake up and I'll just lay and meditate. And he showed me when it happened. Israel in India had me ministering in a village. And it was a remote area. And these people were really blessed and grateful. And they were planting a church there. And this person whose property we were on, having the meetings, insisted they're going to feed me. And I didn't have peace about it. Because the water's filthy. And they're washing the food in it and everything else. But I acquiesced to, you know, because Israel was like, well, they're going to be offended. You know, if we have to eat with them. I said, man, I just didn't feel good about it. And lo and behold, that's when it came. Now, it's a whole other issue. Well, why was the door open or whatever for that? I don't know. He didn't show me that. But nonetheless, it's not a good idea to eat poison food or virally infected stuff. So that tropical parasite working did damage to the liver, like permanent damage. And then there was other things from that. The naturopathic guy helped with dealing with killing off the tropical parasite. But see, this other damage is done. And sometimes there's things that happen and you deal with that, but damage has been done. You don't have to accept that. Someone could deal with a diabetic type issue and maybe there's nerve pain. Well, damage was done by the diabetes. Well, Jesus can heal it all. Don't accept, okay, damage was done. I've got to live with this the rest of my life. You don't have to accept that. But if you believe those words, regardless of who would speak them or where they come from, or if it's just the devil talking in your head, if you embrace and believe that, well, it's not going to change. But there's a place in our heart where we say, I'm not accepting this. And the Lord who could heal the whatever else causing the blood sugar issues also can heal the effects of it, say it's nerve damage. Or, you know, with each disease, you know, there's those that there's an origin point and then there's the effects. And you have, I think a lot of times diabetics, it'll be the kidneys that'll affect the kidneys. So, you know, you're going to have to treat that, but you got to get back to the root of things so it's not reoccurring. So, you know, for me, it's all about the liver. It's not about all this other stuff I'm dealing with. It's all about that. Because everything else, the other issues are coming out of that. And there's times I'd be so fatigued, because that's one of the other things it can cause of many. So fatigued, so much fatigue. Yeah, I'd still get up every morning early, come in to pray. I like to walk and pray. Maybe I'd walk and pray 5 minutes and have to lay on the sofa for 15, 20 minutes. And I get up and walk and pray. No, you can pray laying on the sofa too. Get up and walk and pray 5 minutes. I wasn't going to allow how I was feeling to change what God called me to do and what His will for my life was. Maybe I can't do it the same, but in my mind, well, I'm healed. Get up and go to work. But here's what happened. I shared this with Brother Dale. He said, "What did you do?" I didn't do anything. God healed it. I held fast my confession. Now, what we want to learn to come into is that's how you live. It's not just something, okay, I got a problem, I'll do this. This is how I live. I live in the Word, speak the Word, continue to speak it to myself. You know, and it's not like some perfect or whatever. There's times I can say, wow, you need to be doing that more, boy. We all have to keep hearing the Word, no matter how much you know, to keep stirring your faith and stirring you to be releasing it. And there'll always be times you say you could be doing more of this or more of that. There's no end to that. It's not even really that good to think that much like that because you end up beating yourself down. There's this hold fast the confession of faith. Jesus Christ has not changed. He is my healer. So it was, I don't know, say 12 years or whatever, and the manifest, healing manifest. No more fluid being built up, which was an outward evidence sign. My digestion's improved. I have more strength and more energy. Sometimes more than others. Sometimes, you know, it could be other reasons. I was tired coming into today because I've had a busy week. You know, that you'll have times like that. But that's not the same as you have no energy. I used to have to plan my day or what I'm doing because it was like you're going to be going to the beach on a quarter tank of gas. You're not going to make it the whole way to the beach on a quarter tank of gas. So I knew I had X energy, so I plan how I'm going to spend it, spend my energy. That's just what I had to do until the healing's complete. Hold fast your confession. Speak to your body. This man says, speak the Word only. Liver, function the way the Creator designed it. Liver, you're healed in Jesus' name. I mean, I talk to my body like that. And time passed, and it's almost like, wow, this condition's gone. It's healed. Now, as I've stated other times, I think earlier this morning, you know, we can be prone to not be aggressive like that until something's like life-threatening. We want to learn to live this way. Live a life hearing the Word, abiding in the Word, speaking the Word. Don't wait for trouble. Be proactive, speaking your faith. You know, relative to your finances, relative to your health, relative to your relationships, relative to everything. The Holy Spirit's ministry, speaking it and declaring it. One thing that can help is kind of praise music we have is Fool the Word of God. Listen to that. You know, we have, there's really no excuse because all the devices we have. I mean, I marvel. You could pull up preaching from 28 years ago, Brother Copeland or something, just pull it right up. I love taking my iPad because I'm going to be leaving for Nigeria tomorrow. I got all kinds of music in here, Bibles, Bible dictionary, all this kind of stuff. It's great. Back in the old days, I really rejoiced when they made cargo pants. I don't wear cargo pants anymore because I have an iPad. But I have like a tape player and tapes and books. I had to take a big suitcase because you'd have like Bibles and all that stuff's heavy. Takes up space. Now I just go in a little half a carry-on. Donald said, I couldn't go one day, and you go 2 weeks in his little bag. But as you travel a lot, you learn how to pack, and you learn, I mean, just how to get everything down. How about Paul? You learn how to do it, and it sort of becomes like a game, a challenge. You know, just how small, I'm always buying new small bags. How small of a bag can I go in? And it got a lot easier when certain things are available in other countries. You know, I don't have to take this, they don't have that there. Speak the word to your body. The passing of time can cause you to start letting go of the hope. And that's what I believe the man with the boy who is epileptic, Jesus said, how long has this been going like this? Well, since he's a little boy, since he was a child. And the guy says, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe in who you are, but I'm struggling in my mind. There are times having to believe God through certain situations can be a struggle in your mind. You know what the word says. You know who Jesus is. But I've got some good news for you. Help my unbelief. Ask the Lord to help you in the struggle. You're not like left alone in the mental struggle or in the battle. The Lord's not looking at you like you got to prove you're something. Prove you're a man. He's not looking at you like that. You know, if you know you need help, ask for help. We all need help at times. Help my unbelief. Help me in dealing with this. Jesus had compassion because this man loved his son, just like all of you love your children. And it hurt his heart to see his son suffer. And the passing of time, he was losing hope. This is going to kill my boy. This is what he's thinking. This devil's trying to kill him. But that was his hour of deliverance right there. And the Lord cast the devil out and healed the boy from the effects of this. There may be some, you have a lingering something. And you can be pretty young and have a lingering something. And fearful thoughts can begin to come into your mind that, well, this is going to kill me, or this is going to do this or that. You don't have to let that torment be there. But what we do need to do is stay strong in our faith and speak it. Speak it, speak it, speak it. Speak the word to that situation. Why did it take that many years? I don't really know for sure, but I do know this. This may be the reason. During that time, I set myself to study and learn all that I could about health issues. Now, that's one of those areas, the more you learn, the more you realize how much you don't know. You're learning more about what you don't know than what you're actually knowing. Because it's endless. It's an endless study relative to health and human body, just like the Word of God. It's an endless study. You continue to learn and grow and study. And the reason why he wanted me to do that, there's another concept here, and that is the Creator designed your body to work a certain way. And you can't violate that. And sometimes people think, well, yeah, well, Jesus is healer, so I can do whatever I want and abuse my body. And ha, 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 he'll heal me. Well, that's tempting God. You probably won't get your healing if you're doing that. So the good coming out of that, it drove me to get more understanding and wisdom and knowledge. Not that I'm not a doctor, I'm not trying to be that to anybody, but just for my own benefit. And, share what I know. But I've learned you have to be very, very careful, because everybody's body, even though it's has some similar design to it, it's very unique and has some different things, and you shouldn't just be telling other people, oh, do this or do that because it worked for me. It's not how it works. You know, one person could have a cup of coffee and they're buzzed all night, and the next person has a cup of coffee and goes to sleep. Explain that. Explain it, Ricky. Because people's body reacts different to things. But see, the lesson in that is we need to take responsibility before God. Gain knowledge, receive from people who have knowledge in things, whether it's an MD or naturopathic or whatever, it doesn't matter. Receive the knowledge, but then you have to take that knowledge and look to God, and what's the Holy Ghost saying to me? And you own the decision and not just have people tell you what to do. Had I done that, I would have had a liver transplant and probably would have died in a couple years, because that wasn't what God's plan was for me. Now, maybe that's okay for somebody else, but I knew it wasn't for me. So apply the wisdom of the natural and be in faith. Brother Arthur Burt used to say, faith and wisdom have to be married. I'll never forget that. That went into my spirit. Seek wisdom. Apply wisdom, endeavor to walk in it, but at the same time walk in faith and continue in faith. And for us, faith comes by hearing the word. Faith is released by the speaking of the word, and that needs to be our life. At the same time, walk in wisdom in this life, because we can't violate how the Creator created things to operate. Speak the word. Speak the word. It's wise for all of us to renew that kind of commitment to the word. But then also there may be some who there's an issue in your body or another part of your life. And I just want to encourage you, speak the word to it. Don't relent. Hold fast to the end. I'll just finish with one scripture. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14 says, seeing then we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldly come before the Lord. We have a great high priest representing us. He's representing your words before the throne. He is your attorney, so to speak. He takes your prayer, your confession, your word, and it is represented before the throne of God by Jesus Christ. I like that visual, that picture. I try to keep that in my mind. As I speak the word, it has representation in heaven. Heaven's hearing this. The angels of God are hearing this. So we continue to hold fast to our confession.